next submitter is on the list, Land Pro and the Balfour Wedding Side Group. Collectively speaking to those submissions, or are we going to?
Just hold a minute, please.
That's right. So I understand you're speaking to the Land Pro submission, also like the Balfour Wedding Side submission. Are you doing that as well, or are they going to present separately?
Correct, yes. So in the first instance, I would like to present for Land Pro.
Yeah.
And Land Pro also helped the Balfour Wedding Side Waikaia group and sort of facilitated their group forming and helped prepare their submission for them. And so I would like to offer them support when they present following this submission.
Okay, so they're presenting
separately after this one. Is that okay?
Yep.
Thank you.
Alright, so in terms of your submission then, thanks very much for the original submission and the pre-circulated evidence, which we've read, so you don't need to read that out to us.
Thank you.
But are there any points you'd either like to highlight for us, or is there any additional material that you'd like to table with us today?
Yeah, so I, in the first instance, I'd just perhaps like to introduce myself and my colleague sitting next to me. So first I'll just introduce Hilary Lennox. She's a senior resource planner at LandPro and isn't here to support LandPro's submission. So as you said, I will take the evidence as read. And firstly, I'd like to provide a quick 2-minute summary of our submission points and also take this opportunity to apologise for sending a draft version instead of the final version of LandPro's evidence back in May, and I hope that you have had an opportunity to see the final version, which I apologise for that. So firstly, I would like to start with my full name is Zoe Alexander McCormack. I'm a resource management planner at LandPro, firm of consulting planners and surveyors. I have a qualification of Bachelor of Environmental Management and Planning from Lincoln University, and have been a planning consultant for over 2.5 years now, providing consultancy services throughout Otago and Southland. I've undertaken a wide variety of resource management related work for various clients, including preparing resource consent applications and consent management services through Otago and Southland. I hold professional membership with the NZIPIM, which is the New Zealand Institute of Primary Industries Management, and have completed the Advanced Sustainable Nutrient Management course. I'm familiar with the proposed Southland Water and Land Plan, the Section 42A report and Section 32 report. This evidence was prepared in relation to the submission prepared by LandPro. And I would like to note at this point that this evidence prepared on behalf of LandPro has been prepared based on the input of a number of our planning and technical staff, some of whom are now employed by Environment Southland. This point is of particular relevance in relation to those matters and points of submission relating to appendices K and L, which deal with water quantities. And I will endeavour to answer any general questions around those points, but notice that will be at a high level, as I recognise I'm not a qualified environmental scientist. So I'll be presenting a range of matters in our submission and the hearing evidence which we tabled in May, which will ultimately support LandPro's view on the proposed Southland Water and Land Plan. Where we've not provided specific reference to matters made in our original submission, we're confirming that we have agreed with the recommended position of the planning officer with respect to those specific matters. The following changes to the proposed Southland water plan, which are still outstanding following the section 42A report, are that we propose that the removal of the word fully mitigated from policy 16, and that some recognition is given that in some instances converting to dairy may not reflect a worse environmental outcome, that council seeks some clarity.
Sorry, I'm just interjecting now. So now you're reading out to us a list of residual matters that you wish
just
us to
a summary of those residual matters from our
is
submission.
Is that summary in your evidence, or is this additional material that you're reading out now? This list of matters you're now reading out, is that list in your evidence?
That's not written word for word in my evidence, no, I'm sorry.
So you're reading from something, is that?
Yes.
Rather than us, because you talk really fast, so rather than us trying to write down what you're saying.
Should I have some water?
No, is there, the list you're reading from, is that able to be copied and just given to us?
Or else
if not,
I could photocopy it now if that would help, but I only have the one copy with me.
Well, you've got notes all over it, you might not want to give that to us. So maybe if you just slow down when you speak.
Okay, yes.
So residual concerns, policy 16, start again with that one.
Okay. Excuse me.
Yeah.
Thank you. So the removal of the word fully mitigated from policy 16. Recognition that in some instances that converting to dairy may not reflect a worse environmental outcome. That council seeks some clarity as to what they mean by dairy farming and what the definition of dairy farming should be. That intensive winter grazing applies on a percentage of landholding basis as opposed to a flat area of land. And that some clarity around what new intensive winter grazing means is provided. That the cultivation twice in any 5-year period is permitted, and that the correct datum is referred to, particularly in Rule 25. That the installation of an effluent tank is a controlled activity, and that supplementary allocation limits as set within Appendix K or L, are not so low. That stream depletion effects are considered with regards to the relevant Environment Court decisions, and that aquifer test requirements sit outside the plan as a guideline rather than a requirement under the plan.
Okay, so what I'm going to ask you to do now is, because some of that was a little bit general, is to type that out for us.
Yes.
And refer to the provision, so rather than say referring to intensive winter grazing, just Rule 23.
Okay.
And if you could generate a table for us.
Yep.
And say, here are the provisions that you covered in the original submission.
Mm-hmm.
Here's our residual concern.
Yep.
And here's what additional changes to the wording you'd like us to consider as a panel over and above what the staff have recommended to us in the 42A report. And I'm asking you to do that because you're a professional planner, so I wouldn't ask a layperson necessarily.
Yeah, that's fine. I understand.
And so then that would be extremely helpful to us. And if you could do that by Friday fortnight.
Yep.
So three columns, the provision reference, the change you'd like to be made, discussed in words so we can understand the reason for your residual concern, and then the actual wording you'd like in terms of, and you sort of strike out and underline and using the 42A recommendation as a basis for that.
Okay.
Yeah. And in terms of those concerns you may still have on the water allocation provisions, you mentioned that some of the people that helped you with the original submission don't work for you anymore, they work for council.
Yes.
If you need to seek technical input to that document I'm asking you to prepare, you're welcome to do that.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. All right, sorry to interrupt, Karen.
No, thank you. So that was just a summary that I had thought might be useful. Would you have any questions on our submission? Perhaps that might be a better way to go.
We'll see if we do. It might be a bit difficult for us to frame our questions until we see that document.
But so there's nothing new in here that hasn't already been presented in the brief of evidence?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll see how we go. Because I couldn't read these, that if I had some notes that I could go off of, then that would be better.
Yeah. I'll see if we have questions for you, Lloyd.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you for your... which I've actually got three copies of your submission on different forms, so it's been very helpful. On your submission, point 40, you make mention of going from once to twice for cultivation in a five-year period.
Correct.
Given that a number of submitters have said they have really a 10-year cycle for their farming operation, and paddocks may be cropped for anywhere between 1 and 3 years, does that actually capture what you've suggested here, which is effectively 3 years it would be under cultivation and 7 years it would be in grass? I think the point you're raising here is that the way it's written, you effectively can't sow it out in grass because you aren't able to cultivate it to the next application.
Yeah, I guess if I understand your question correctly, that in that 3 year period, if that falls within years 1 and 5, then perhaps you couldn't? Does that
yes.
answer your question?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm suggesting that, I know it's in 25B2,
yeah.
It talks about a 5 year period.
Correct.
And you've submitted that it goes from once to twice.
Yeah.
I'm even suggesting that that is a too short a period in what other submitters have given to us, and that maybe we should be looking at a longer term period.
Oh, right, so go for a 10-year period as opposed to a 5-year period. Yep, I think that would probably be a welcome addition to that rule, and that might appease some of the concerns that I might not have articulated, but have the same intent.
That's all, Mr. Chairman.
Just one question, and in your pre-circulated submission, Appendix L2, water abstraction, you've got words strongly opposed the 2 litres per second stream depletion. When you said any arbitrary number anywhere in this plan, you have people caught or not caught. Could you just give me a bit of rationale why 5 litres per second is what you're promoting?
Yeah. So I guess from a high level, my understanding is that the 5 litres per second talks to that moderate degree of hydraulic connection. But I will have probably come back to you to give some further comment there, perhaps when I prepare a report. But
all
I
right.
think that
yeah, that'll do. Thank you.
There. Yeah. Thank
yeah.
You.
Got just some rationale around why that number.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep. Perfect.
Yeah. Just in regard to your pre-circulated evidence at paragraph 44,
yeah.
I wasn't quite sure what you were wanting amended in Rule 32.
Yeah.
And perhaps that's something you could come back with on the when you do the revision.
Okay.
Unless you can answer it now. Were you wanting a clause to deal with the tank storage rather than
correct.
In addition to the land-based storage facility?
Correct. So my understanding is that the tank isn't covered under Practice Note 21, and on that basis that a consent activity would then, that in order to apply to install a tank, you would immediately defer to becoming a non-complying activity, which is not commensurate to the risk of installing a tank. And also given that a tank is significantly more expensive than installing a pond, there's no reward for that when you have to go through a high consenting test. In the Section 42A report, I understand that the council officer had recommended that tanks should still be covered under the Resource Management Act, because even though they're required to get a building consent under the Building Act, that doesn't consider environmental concerns. And so on that basis, so long as the tank is sufficiently sized and is away from sensitive receiving environments, then it should be a controlled activity.
Oh, well, thank you. That's good explanation. We've heard the same issue from others.
Thank you.
Yes, you said in your evidence that farming should be allowed in the alpine zone, which is above 800 metres above mean sea level, or the datum that you're talking about, roughly that. What sustainable farming activities can and do occur in this area, to your knowledge?
Can you just tell me which paragraph you're referring to of that evidence?
Not immediately, no. Hold on, I'll go back to your... It's to do with the alpine physiographic. Policy 4, which is the alpine physiographic.
That's in our original submission.
Yeah. We don't have page numbers that I can see.
I'm not sure if I've addressed that again in our evidence, and so on that basis I would assume that we've accepted what the council officer has recommended.
Okay.
So right. No further comment.
Okay. And you also recommend that the permitted baseline for intensive undergrazing be 20% of a property's size or land holding size. Do you recall doing that?
I recall that Lampo did make that recommendation, but I'd have to come back to you with some justification why 20% was proposed. Yeah. I do understand that a percentage was proposed on the basis that we felt that it would be fairer as opposed to a hectare threshold, that it would capture larger, wouldn't unnecessarily unfairly capture some properties over others.
My question really was also, how do you know that this would result in the protection of water quality in the region and the meeting of the objectives in the plan? So perhaps you might like to
consider that
back as
to
well.
You. Yeah.
It's a bit more tricky. You talked about this vertical datum, and you mentioned that today as well.
Yeah.
And you say that could be about 5 metres different to the above mean sea level measure.
Yeah.
Is that significant? Or I would have thought the above mean sea level, which would correspond to lines on a topographical map, would actually be simpler, and the difference isn't much, so it wouldn't matter much.
Yeah. I'd just like to outline that LAMPRO is a planning and surveying consultancy. And that point came from one of our surveyors. I think that if it doesn't make any difference to the plan and it makes it more accurate, then why wouldn't you include it? If it's a matter of 5 metres or not, then it might make a difference.
Mm.
In some instances, I couldn't quantify how much of a difference it would make, but if it was to make the plan more accurate and more clear, then perhaps that would be a good recommendation.
That's
mine.
Thanks very much.
Right, thanks. I've just been crossing off a whole lot of my questions that said, what do you actually want? So I look forward to getting that further document from you. But I do have some questions from your pre-circulated evidence. Paragraph 56. And this is maybe given your earlier comments about the water allocation provisions, this may be one that you need to go away and then come back to us on, but you recommend an increase to 50% of median mean flow on the basis that was more in line with thresholds in other regions. Which other regions and which other regional plans and which provisions of those plans are you referring to?
Can I get back to you, please?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
The issue you raise at paragraph 70, not a question for you, but officers in reply, paragraph 70 of the evidence for land claim, can you just make sure you address this point in reply? I find it a little bit confusing, to be honest, so clarity you can provide in reply would be helpful. Paragraph 83. Yep, so you oppose the blanket setting of 3,000 metres cubed a hectare per year. I just wanted to ask you, do you understand that my reading of the plan is that's not a cap?
Yes.
So you do understand this. It's just that takes exceeding that need to do a crop soil assessment.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't understand the problem with that.
No, there isn't.
So you're happy with that now?
Yeah, well, yeah. So,
okay.
Yes, that has been resolved.
All right, thanks.
I apologise.
Okay, no, that's fine. And no further questions, but do look forward to getting that further document.
Okay,
from you.
Thank you.
All right, now we hear from the Bell